Galatians 5:13 through 18. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Keep it. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law.
Father God, we are grateful again that we can come together right now. Lord, we come to lift you up. We come to be encouraged. We come, Lord, to hear you. Lord, speak to us, I pray. Lord, clear our minds. Open our eyes. Help us to hear. Help me, Lord, as I speak today, that if there be any error, any misleading words, anything that might be unclear, Lord, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, please speak to us. We are confident, Lord, and we listen for you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, when I was finishing up my days in college, and my last quarter of my college career, I had to do student teaching. My degree was in social studies. So I had to travel about 40 miles to a little town, Barneville, to do my student teaching. And when I began, I met with the teacher I'd be working with, and for the first couple of weeks, I sat and observed, watched how he did things, tried to get a feel for things. It was the end of the year, so I would do that. Then came the point where I had to step up and be the teacher. And so I thought that, I'm a young guy, early 20s, these kids are going to love me. What's not to love? What's not to like? And I started my time with them. What happened, though, was very frustrating, because the teacher had a whole year, and he was a good teacher. His classrooms were very ordered, very disciplined. But when I started teaching, it was chaos. They wouldn't listen to me. They didn't do a thing I said. They were rude. They were crude. They talked all the time, and I could not get a handle on it. It was so frustrating. And the teacher, he just sat in the back for like 3 days. He sat back at his desk and just watched me flounder. And I was like, I don't know if I can do this. I mean, it was really, really bad. And then at the end of like the third day, he sat me down. He said, Steve, how's it going? I said, you know how it's going. You've been watching me for 3 days. You know what's going on. What do I do? And he goes, well, what do you think the problem is? I said, I don't know. I mean, the rules are clear. They obeyed you. What's going on? He says, well, here's the thing, Steve. Yes, my rules were listened to, but you have to make them your rules. There's not necessarily carryover here. Make them your rules too. And so that's what I had to do. And so the next day with each class, I set forth very clearly what my expectations were, set very clearly what the rules were. And for like 2 or 3 days, I had to crack down really, really hard. I sent so many people to the office. I mean, my wick was like very short, and I mean, anything, boom, out of here, boom, out of here. But I tell you what, after a couple days, we all kind of settled in, and the rest of my time was more or less wonderful. It really was. It was amazing that once I set forth what the rules were, what I had to do, what the parameters were, and that they were mine, not just his, but this is my class now, things were just fine. Now, I think that this touching story is a little bit of an illustration of what we're looking at, what Paul was dealing with here, okay? Because Paul, in dealing with these Judaizers that we've been talking about this whole time, had this idea and concern for the Galatians to obey the law, that they had to be circumcised, they had to get the full thing, that they were being shortchanged. And the issue that was coming up for them, I think, was that if this talk about just living by the Spirit and doing things by the Spirit, that it's going to open up sin, that you're just giving yourself opportunity to sin all the more, that you need rules, you need boundaries, and the law would do that for them. You know, that the Spirit by itself could not counter the forces of the flesh on a person. You needed barriers. And that's what the law would do for them. Now, we'll make sure as we're going forward today that we have some definitions. So one is the flesh. Okay? When Paul's talking about the flesh, what is he speaking of? Well, in Jewish thought, for a long, long time, the flesh was considered the evil impulses. There's writings that say there's two impulses inside of a person. There's the good one and then the evil one. And they were fighting each other. Okay, so it's their impulses towards doing wrong things. Right? Paul uses a Greek word, sarx, which means flesh, like body, you know, kind of stuff. But it's more than just the body. Okay, you get into the Greek idea of the body's bad, spirit's good. It's kind of weird. It's not talking about just the body. Okay, it's talking about the part of all of us that does not want to do what God wants. Our human nature, the corruption, the weakness, our depravity. The body is part of that. I mean, our flesh is part of that, no doubt about it. But it refers to more. It's the unspiritual life of the whole person, which is inclined towards sin. And so, for the Judaizers, it's all fixed by adopting the law. Because if you do that, then it's all good. Because then there's no immorality. You know clearly what's going to be going on. There's no problem with the flesh because you've got the barriers there. And you get full acceptance by God to boot. Not to mention, Jerusalem will be happy with you, and you know, the nationalism is assuaged a little bit too. But Paul, as we've seen over and over again, says what? No. No, no, no. That is not freedom. He talks about freedom. And freedom in the Spirit, he says, does not lead to immorality. Life in the Spirit does not lead towards giving into the flesh. In fact, just the opposite. The Spirit life helps us to live a life of love. The Spirit life helps us to escape the flesh. In fact, it's already done. And so in our passage today, Paul argues this and shows it quite clearly and quite interestingly, I think. Now, as we look at what Paul says about freedom and dealing with the flesh, we want to keep a couple things in mind and to think in our heads, even as we're going along here. What is life in the Spirit? What is it? What does it look like for us, Trinity Evangelical Free Church, as Spirit people? What does that look like? What do we do? What do we say? If someone saw us, they'd say, oh yeah, that's what it's about. That's the question that I want to answer, hopefully, today. Now, Paul does this in these sections. He has two distinct sections here. And he uses a literary device called a chiasm. Okay? I know. But it's an interesting thing. It helps us, I think, to understand it. Now, what a chiasm is, it's like I said, a literary device. And, well, here's what I did. Can you all see the little board here? Okay? So, it won't be in the recording, but here's what a chiasm is. So you have a point, A, all right, where you say something. That's point A. And then you have point B underneath it. And then you kind of restate point B, B prime, B2, and then you would have a restating then of point A prime. And it helps us to do it. And what it does then, you see, it's called a chiasm because it makes a connection. It's an X, or in the Greek, the letter chi. Okay, that's why it's called a chiasm, okay? And it helps us to see connections, and that's what we're going to be doing today. So, as we're thinking through this, think about how we're making these connections in this way. Now, a chiasm is used all over the place in the Bible, and different places too. The Psalms are full of them. They can be much more complex than this. You could have a A, B, C, D, and then a C prime, B prime, A prime. And in a Psalm, like Psalm 23, if you look at it and study it, it shows that kind of a progression, and it kind of shows you what the main point is. It leads you into something. And Paul is doing that here. He's trying to focus and show us relationships and what the main point is. All right? So I give that to you now. You can see it there. That's what a chiasm is. And it's really not, you know, that complicated thing. But that's what he does here. And here's how he does it. If you look at the first chiasm in 13 through 15, speaking about freedom and the freedom to love. Okay, so let's look at that again. Look at verse 13. The first part of the verse, he gives, again, the call to freedom. For you were called to freedom, brothers. And we've talked about it at length, what freedom is. And remember, freedom. Freedom to know God. Freedom to be forgiven. Freedom to do God's will. Freedom to live a life free of guilt. Freedom to live for each other. That's what real freedom is. And Paul's saying, you are for freedom. And then he outlines what it is. So the A in his chiasm here is verses 13, the second part of 13. It says, don't use the freedom for the flesh. And then he says in his B, use freedom for love. His B prime is love is the summary command. And then A prime is the flesh is seen when we fight one another. So A is flesh, B is love. And that's what he's seeing it here. So how does that work? Well, he first says that if we think about freedom, he says, don't use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, an opportunity to sin, opportunity to give in to those impulses, so to speak. The word opportunity here is one of like a base of operations or a place to start. He says, don't give it a foothold. Don't give it a beachhead in your life. Paul often likes these warring, fighting sort of images, right? Ephesians chapter 6, put on the whole armor of God. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. There is a battle going on, people. And Paul is saying, don't use your freedom to give that, your flesh, the opportunity. Now, again, people can think that way. People might say, you know, oh, you're just all free. You can do whatever you want to. Grace is good. I can sin. And it's all good because God forgives me. And Paul's saying, no, don't do that. Do not do that. And what's interesting then in the chiasm is that he makes a connection then between the flesh and the law. Because look what it says here in verse 15. Where am I? Here I am. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Here's the result of the flesh. The result of the flesh is that we're going to fight. We're going to, you know, and so you're seeing the results of it. So it's not only sinning, but how it actually comes out in our relationships with each other. Gratifying the flesh here corresponds with fighting. And so then we see then, so instead, freedom is freedom to love. In verse 14, or the end of 13, and then into 14. So we use it to love, and then love is a summary. Love your neighbor as yourself. The whole law is fulfilled in love. So Paul's focus then is not the flesh, don't let it move, but love. Love each other. Love, love, love. How often do we see that all over Scripture? Love. And I think as people we forget or we don't live out real, true love. Grace love. Rapturous love. Unbounded love for our families, for the people in our churches, for the people in the streets. If we react in love, the flesh does not have an opportunity to get a foothold in us. We aren't going to go down that path. So these accusations by the Judaizers are baseless because spirit people love. Above all else, they love. And in doing that, it does not give the flesh a foothold. In fact, the whole law is fulfilled in love. So then he moves on to the accusation that freedom doesn't give us any weapons against the flesh. That the flesh will win. That war that's going on inside will be won by the flesh because without the law, there's nothing to hold it back. And Paul says, no. He says, A, live by the Spirit and you escape the flesh. Look at verse 16. Now, I always go the wrong one there. But I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Think about that. To be in the Spirit, he's saying it won't happen. Now we've got to wonder why or how. Well, let's look on. And so the second point is then the conflict we have is flesh and spirit. It is a spiritual one. It doesn't, not outside force. It's not the flesh, the body. It's the spiritual flesh, my desires versus God's desires. And in fact, this conflict itself, this warring in our hearts that we all face, is working towards keeping us away from God's will. We are so concerned with this battle, good and bad, That it, even in the battle itself, if we're fighting and struggling against that flesh, can actually distract us from doing God's will because we're battling all the time. And what does Paul say? Hey, if you are in the Spirit, and then look at the connection in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. That's the aid prime. So he says, in the first, you are escape the flesh. You will not gratify the flesh. And then at the end, he equates flesh with law. Don't lose that. Don't lose the fact that he's saying, if you go by the law is according to the flesh. You put up all these rules, that's flesh. If you find yourself needing or a church or your family or other people putting up rules and demanding rules and those kind of things, that is not godly. That is the flesh, in fact. And that's the connection he wants us to understand, that the conflict is there, but in the Spirit you are free from that. The conflict then is moot by a person in the Spirit. The connection is Spirit. Now, I understand that's all like A's and B's and connections all in our heads, all right? But hear what Paul is saying. Because it's difficult sometimes to see in our lives what it is to be a Spirit person. It's, you know, I think, oh, the Spirit, what is that? What does it mean? I don't see it, I don't feel it. And so the laws and rules help us. And what it leads to is what Paul talks about in biting and devouring each other. And I think we see far more of that, even in our churches, the fightings, the divisions. We don't want to allow other people freedom. Now, sometimes that freedom is just immaturity. You know, someone just doesn't know, and so they express freedom, and you know, maybe they do something, and we think, oh, you know, that's inappropriate. But they're just growing up. We have expectations that are not Christian, as Paul's been talking over and over again. We must not add to what the gospel is, but to let people be free. Because think how much easier and how much more pleasant life is if we just allow freedom. Now, it doesn't say that we, you know, back down. We can talk about things, even doctrinal things. You know, I mean, this devouring in each other. I mean, boy, folks can get really fired up about end times, Revelation, pre-millennium, post-millennium rapture, all these things. And they actually split, churches split over issues of, is Jesus going to come before the tribulation or after the tribulation? Okay, I mean, we can have opinions on those things, but we don't bite and devour each other. We should not. It's about love. It's about how we do conflicts. There's going to be conflict. I mean, you have people. Guess what? The only way to not have conflict in a relationship is just not have a relationship. Okay? If I want no conflict in my life, I should just go up in the woods in a cabin all by myself and don't listen to any news, don't listen to anything, and just sit there. But even then, I'll probably have an argument with myself or something. All right? That's just our nature. And until Christ comes and we are made whole, we're going to rub that way. And there's going to be little things that bug us. And this is telling us, no, live by love. Don't let those things get a foothold. If there's something you have against somebody, take care of it. How often did Jesus and others tell us, like in the Sermon on the Mount, if you know that your brother has something against you as you're coming to the altar, we say, leave it there. Go, take care of it. It's so important. We have to love each other. Really love each other. Take the step. If you think someone's offended you, if you're wondering, oh, they didn't smile at me or something there, instead of ignoring it, take care of it. Make it right. Show the rule of love. I mean, in real love, true love, passionate love. That's what it's about. It's freedom. It's freedom. I was reading a book I had, and a guy was talking to the theologian John Stott, and he had said that Stott's kind of an introvert. He's not real outgoing, and he's trying to get him to talk. He finally got him to talk. He's asked a question, and he asked a question about ordination of women. He says, do you think it's okay to ordain women? You know, and he goes, well, I don't much care for ordination. He's like, what? No, you got to care about this. This is important. He's like, you know, yeah, the Bible talks about some things here, but I don't want to fight about it. You know, but what about women preaching? Yeah, you know, I have an opinion. I think maybe there's some rules there and stuff, but boy, if people are free, I think we should be free. Now, again, you know, like the way you're saying, Steve, we can have opinions on these things. I mean, you even look at Scripture, and Scripture may clearly say things, and we can be very confident when we think of what the Scripture says. And we can still allow freedom for others and not devour one another. We do the same thing in our politics, don't we? I've been doing a lot of reading, and of course, it's still in the news, right? We don't have a settled president yet. It's all in a mess, and everyone's all up in arms. And, you know, this last weekend, there was violence. You see images of Trump supporters and people against Trump face-to-face, yelling at each other, screaming at each other. There's a guy who, you know, was pepper sprayed because he was at this Trump rally and was against it. Again, whatever your political leanings is, that's fine. But we don't want to bite and devour and consume each other. That is not the way of the kingdom. That is not freedom. Real freedom lets people be free. So then, what is it then to be spirit people? What does it look like? How do we interact with each other? How do people see us if we are truly spirit people? Do we even acknowledge it? Do we think, oh, God's spirit's in me? Do you ever think about that? If you believe in Jesus, that his spirit is actually in you? What that would mean? Are you aware of it? It's hard sometimes. But Paul said here, the bottom line is love. It always comes down to love. If we love each other, that is spirit. And so I think as we, you know, go through our day, or even in the moment, and think to ourselves, in everything we do, every single thing that we do and say, if we try to put it through a filter of love, what would that look like? When you have to confront someone at work, if you run through a filter of love, what does it look like? When you respond to the person who cut you off on the road, what is the response of love? As we think about each other and how we get along with each other, what is the response of love? And I think if people see that, they will see God in us. And we'll be led to that. It's not fighting. It's not judging. It's not arguing and fighting over things that may be silly. And again, not everything's silly. There are stands to be taken, no doubt. But even then, even when we strongly, strongly disagree with somebody, theologically, politically, whatever, we can still do it in love. We can. I know we can. We have to. We must. You know, I was talking this weekend, or last week, some guys at work, you know, and you think, you know, politically speaking, no matter what happens, half the country's mad. Guaranteed. Doesn't matter. Half are just not going to be happy. What do we do with that? The kingdom of God shows us. We love. We love. You know, our hope is not based on who a president is or isn't. Again, have opinions, have strong opinions. Vote. Be active. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. But in love, always, always in love. Because that's what's most important. Most important in all these things is love. We have to love. We must love. You getting what the main point of the sermon is? Love. 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 And not just like. I think sometimes we mix up like and love. All right? Or tolerance. I will tolerate you. No, we are not called to tolerate each other. We are called to love each other. I mean, I can tolerate a lot of people. There's a lot of folk out there that, yeah, I'll tolerate them and keep them at arm's length. That's fine. You do your thing, I'll do my thing. But Christ calls us to love, to embrace, to enjoy, to seek out, to listen to understand. Love is understanding. Love is hearing their views. Love is wanting the best for others. And in that, the law is fulfilled. In that, we are accepted by God. That is what Paul is trying to tell us. Now, next week we will look at some of the particular issues of flesh and of spirit and what it looks like, okay? You know, fruit of the spirit and the expressions of the flesh, all right? But even then, in all these things, love, love. Oh, may we be a church that people say love is there. And if we do that, God is honored, I believe. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Let's pray again. Again, Heavenly Father, we are grateful. Lord, forgive us for our lack of love. Lord, it is a struggle. And even as you said here today through your Apostle Paul, there is a conflict between flesh and spirit. And they war with each other. And our flesh wants to strike back. Our flesh wants to be right. Our flesh wants to not love. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would be stronger in us. Lord, your word tells us those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Lord, I pray that we would be Spirit people. Help us to turn our minds to spiritual things, to good things, to love in all things. And we thank you, Lord. And I pray that more and more and more we would display these things for your glory, to turn attention to you in all these things. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.